as we close this morning. 4 points of application, actually. And the first point of application I'd like to make is that we understand the importance of the fact that God is a God of truth, a God of absolute truth. Jesus says in his wonderful prayer in John 17:17, on behalf of his disciples, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. And so the God we serve is a God of absolute truth as well as perfect righteousness. It's a pretty basic point, but it's a point I think we need to emphasize, especially in this our day. Second point of application, as God's people and as those who follow this God of truth, we must be people characterized by both righteousness and truth. We must be people characterized by righteousness and truth. In fact, one of the characteristics of an individual who has truly been saved is that they have received the love of the truth. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 10. One of the characteristics of an individual who has truly been saved is that they have received the love of the truth. Remember, in the new covenant, we receive a new heart, a new birth, a new love, a new desire to obey the truth of God's word. When a lost sinner is saved by the grace of God, they receive a love of the truth. And so all of us who are in Christ love the truth of his word from our hearts. Despite all of our failings, despite all of our inconsistencies, there is, generally speaking, a love of the truth in the heart of the true believer in Christ. So what about you? Do you love the truth of God's word, or are you indifferent to it? Can you take it or leave it? Do we side with God's word against our sin, or do we side with our sin against God's word? That's an indicator of whether you love the truth or not. When God's word says something is sin, and you're committing that sin in your life, do you side with God's word against your sin and repent and forsake that of that sin? Or do you side with your sin against God's word, thus indicating that maybe you haven't received the love of the truth? Whether we love the truth of God's word or we are indifferent to it is one way that we can determine whether our faith is genuine or not. And so we each need to examine our hearts. How do you feel? How do you view the word of God? Do you love God's word? Do you delight in his word? That is the indication of one who has genuinely been saved, who has genuinely received Christ as their Savior and Lord. And so God's people must be people characterized by both righteousness and truth. Thirdly, religious hypocrites, as we've seen, hate righteousness and they hate truth. And as a result, they oppose God, they oppose the purposes of God, and they oppose the people of God. Literally, millions of Christians, and I mean millions, have been martyred over the centuries by religious hypocrites who, although they claim to be Christian, ultimately despise Christ, they despise righteousness, and they despise the truth of his word, and they demonstrate that fact by killing the servants of the Lord. Millions over the centuries, especially between 500 and 1500 AD, called the Dark Ages. Millions of Christians slaughtered by the Roman Catholic Church for their faith in Christ. And so religious hypocrites hate righteousness and they hate truth. And so as we live lives of righteousness and proclaim God's truth, we must expect the same persecution that our brethren have experienced down through the centuries. If we're going to be people of righteousness and people of truth, we need to expect the same persecution that our brethren have experienced down through the centuries, right? And our brethren are experiencing even to this day. Jesus teaches us in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5. the last of the Beatitudes, Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse 10. Jesus says, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad," Jesus says, "for great is your reward in heaven. If you have been, you are, or you will be persecuted for righteousness' sake, for your faithfulness to Christ," Jesus says, "rejoice, be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven." There will be a reward awaiting the faithful servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is being persecuted for their allegiance to him. Jesus says, "For great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you," as we've seen here this morning. And so we need to expect the same persecution that our brethren have experienced down through the centuries. And so what a rich heritage we have as the people of God, going all the way back to Abel and all of those righteous servants down through the centuries in the Old Testament, Micaiah, the great prophets Jeremiah and Ezekiel and Daniel, all the way to Zechariah. And then in the New Testament, John the Baptist and the apostles and the prophets and men like Stephen and countless people who we don't know their names, all the way up through the centuries to the present day. What a rich heritage we have as the people of God. And how this should motivate us to live lives wholeheartedly devoted to Jesus Christ. And so hopefully that will be the message that we take from here. As we've seen the lives of devoted servants of Christ, may it be our heart's desire, may it motivate us to live lives wholeheartedly devoted to Jesus Christ and wholeheartedly devoted to his holy word. Well, take your hymnals.